How are things going?
Going well. Just want to give a little bit of an update, and then I'll defer to others. I'd really like to have George communicate to you a little bit. He's been experiencing some significant things, but we did have our court time that week. As I said, I think it was two Saturdays ago, and we were engaging for a family and had some very specific things given to us by the Lord. Some roots and some actual like curses and things that were put on this family, and then we just for lack of a better term, declared and made some stands against what was going on, and then I think that was pretty much it. We really felt in our heart that we were to not do anything at that moment, because we felt that there was enough of an initiation that took place with that we could just watch and see what the Lord would do. Well, then by the end of the week on Thursday, we became emergency foster parents, and so we're now with two teens in our house, and it's just it's amazing the way the whole thing just went down. And so there was a have to be a real working out of this that we needed to use our hands and feet.
Well, sometimes it does. Yeah, sometimes there are things that you have to then put into practice. But okay, awesome. Yeah.
I'm not seeing you for some reason.
For me?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know.
Is anybody else noticing that?
Can
Oh,
see
there you are. Okay, maybe it was just on mine. I see you now. There you are.
you. Yeah, I'm fine there.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, anyway, yeah. So, just wanted to let you know that it worked, and we'll just continue to see, I'm sure, more results in the coming days. It was interesting because there were some there that were just getting vivid pictures even before we started the court time. My daughter-in-law saw all of us in the courtroom, just standing there before we even engaged, and that all our spirits were there, and she could describe where we were standing next to each other and everything. And so it's almost like we were catching up with what was already happening. Is that kind of the case sometimes?
I don't know. I mean, in a sense, I have no idea. I mean, in a sense, I guess, she may be very perceptive and was seeing prophetically what was going to happen, And in a sense, you are looking into a place where you're looking into before, because it's a different time scale. So you can look into and see, because that sometimes helps you to know what to do. Because you can those are able to engage that, they can look into before something's actually happened and see it. Because that's the looking into, standing in that place where you can see the end from the beginning. You're able to see the results of what should be, and then you can align yourself with it. So yeah, I mean, I wouldn't see any issue with that. And it certainly, if someone can does do that, then it's very helpful, because you begin to just to engage in it, but it's certainly a learning process. People see and experience differently, obviously, but it's great that you got the had the revelation released and different things. So yeah, very good. Okay. Does anyone else want to share anything? Ask.
Well, listening to you guys. Just a little bit. I started off the first year with some pretty exciting stuff, and I'm in my second month now with my second angel, so worked through that, or not working through it, but, you know, every day is a new day. And an angel came in my dream a couple nights before, and I recognized him and said he met me when I was 8 in California. And then as I meditated upon it the next day, the spirit told me that's who it was. In the dream, I didn't know that, but they connected. So that's been pretty exciting. And he gave me his name in the dream. So now I don't have to call him in February. His name is Mitch or Mitchell, something like that. So I'm learning along that line and trying to be open to those things. But the big kickoff came when I listened to your 2-hour practice that's on the that comes up on the top of your YouTube now, and went through that, and some of the things you were teaching, of course, and then some key words, and one of the words you gave was faith, and that really hung in my spirit, or stuck in my spirit, because that's what this is all about. But the thing that I'm noticing is that, because, you know, I've been prophesying for years, but it's the same vein, you just are initiating this differently. Because when you prophesy, you know, you step in front of somebody and that kind of triggers that initiation, but with what you're teaching, I was able to do that. So my first time out, it was just amazing. I stopped the tape when you said, you know, we're laying on the green grass now. And I started visualizing the face of Jesus, and I kept trying, and I focused, and suddenly he came riding up on a white horse with his robe on and his crown, came riding up to me, galloped out of the meadow, and he rode right up to me and grabbed my arm, threw me up on the back of the horse. He's riding bareback, and as soon as I grabbed around his feet, he had on beach pants and no crown now, but longish.
You should tell him that he has a bad connection, because I get about every third word. And I've heard all this before.
Okay. Yeah.
George, you have a horrible connection.
Yeah, so we're struggling to hear you. Because it's just really dropping out a lot.
Can you hear me better now? I'm on my phone. I can't get my computer hooked up.
All right. Yeah, a lot better now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll come closer to the phone. And so we rode off across the meadow, rode through some trees and meadows and things, and then after a while, and I was telling Mike, I have never encountered Jesus like this. I've been saved since I was 7, and I have never encountered a time with Jesus in that time, a period where I was feeling his back, feeling his muscles, I was just, man, it was just wonderful. And then he rode me up to the place where Marie Woodward Edder had a revival meeting in St. Louis, where the tent was gone, and he was going to let me off on that ground, because I'd heard that there was healings that happened after the tent was gone. So I said, wait a minute now. If you can take me back just another month or two and take me to the tent. So that's where he dropped me off. And I went into the tent. I sat in the back of the tent. I watched the crowd, you know, and the healings. And she was up on the platform in a trance, because that was, you know, she was big at that. So that was my first go after I listened to your training, and it just was a great kickoff. And then after that, the next few days, I mean, I could go on and on for a while, but that's kind of got me going.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Right.
Just one more, Mike, on another trip. I was flying across the meadowland and the woods, and then I cleared the horizon, and I came up on a town with roofs in a kind of village looking, but it was a bigger town. And I said, "Where am I?" And the instant answer was Foxtown, Nova Scotia. And I said, "What am I doing here?" He said, "You've come to bring me out of these glory holes where he's taking me, and I'm like a honey, like a bee, I'm bringing glory back." Okay. So he said, "You're going to spread the glory," but he says, "I want you to speak against the spirit of homosexuality." So I said, "Okay, but take me back to the root." So he took me back about three generations, and I spoke against it there. So here's the kicker. I looked it up on Google, and there's actually a Foxtown, Nova Scotia. So anyway, I'm kind of in gear and learning. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I mean, once we start to engage Jesus and we're, our spirit just begins to engage, that there's no limits. You know, this is the thing, is nothing is impossible with God. He can take you to minister anywhere in the world in the spirit. He can take you into the past to minister into the spirit. You know, he can use you when you're available, and that's what we're doing, looking to make ourselves available in the realm of the spirit, where we have access to, and he has access to us, to enable us to fulfill and outwork those things. And which is, you know, amazing, you know, because God does more than we can imagine or think, you know, and I think our imagination and thinking is beginning to expand. So the more imagination and thinking we activate, the more he can do, if you think about it that way, you know, because we can start imagining a whole load of things, and then we start experiencing those by engaging and activating our imagination and going through the doorway, and then he can do beyond what we can imagine or think, even more. So those testimonies are excellent, and you know, just keep going with it. And you know, I mean, I think that that YouTube thing with that exercise, that has a story in itself, in that you know, that was part of a workshop I did in 2012 for the church here. You know, I'd done a previous workshop the previous year, and then I thought, well, I'm going to follow it up with, you know, those who are keen to go a bit deeper. And you know, it was a 4-part series, and that's it. It's just on the website, whatever. Now, then someone emailed me and said, "Well, do you know someone's published one of your series online?" And I thought we weren't allowed to do that, so I thought, okay, I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'll go and check it out. So I go and check it out, and you know, what I find is the title of the person or the ministry that done it is Northwest Ministries, which are based in Seattle, in fact. So I thought, oh, that's really interesting, this whole Northwest connection and different things. So I thought, oh, well, you know, hey, I don't really mind. It had 2,000 hits on the YouTube channel, so I thought, hey, if people are watching it, awesome, that's great. So I thought, oh, well, I'll download it and then publish it on our website, you know, and on the YouTube channel, so that more people can get a handle on having a look at it. You know, so I thought, well, I wonder how he did it, because it was just an audio with a PDF. So I contacted them, and this guy said, "Oh, I'm really sorry, you know, you're offended." I said, "No, I'm not offended in the slightest, but it would be really helpful if you told me how you did it, because we might like to do that with some other ones." So, you know, he shared how he did it, you know, using a video editing program and things. And then it was like, okay, well, it's great. And then he said, "Oh, you know someone that we're connected with, that's part of, you know, thinking about bringing you over in the coming year, whatever." So I thought, okay, dude, who is it? And you know, it was Anna from Seattle. And so all the connections start to get made, you know. And for me, it's like God is doing something in establishing the connections, the network of relationships, outworking it. Because, you know, immediately I saw, you know, NW Ministries, I immediately thought, no, this has got to be something significant. This is not by accident that this has taken place, because this opens up another avenue of connecting with people and engaging with people and seeing what God is doing in establishing his government in these areas and outworking it. So, you know, that's really where that came from. Which, you know, is again a testimony that God does a whole load of things behind the scenes that we just then connect up to and engage with, which is awesome. So I'm sort of, really encouraged by, what God is doing in terms of the relational connections, and, the testimonies of someone using just that exercise and having the experience that you had is just wonderful. Because, a lot of the time, I think that's had probably, 4,000 views overall. I've no idea what it does, so to actually have a testimony of what it does is great, because it's a source of encouragement. Because they're fairly basic exercises, but that's by just using those things, it opens a doorway. So it's great.
Well, Mike, what I've done, I recorded that segment of the green pasture where you're meditating, yeah. Put it on my iPhone, so I use it all the time in different places. I'll just turn my phone on and take 10 minutes just to step into the spirit. It's really a great key.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, excellent. Yeah, I mean, that's why we sort of want to release this material, really, to help people and learn how to engage and to practice it. And by doing that, just taking a segment of it and then using that as an exercise whenever, it's great. Really encouraging. Yeah. So excellent. Very good. Okay. Yeah. Any other things people
can want? I ask you one more thing?
Yeah, sure.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, go.
It's just so I can reflect this off of you, and like I told Mike, it's nice to know that I'm still on Earth to somebody. But in my dream, I went by an old deserted courthouse somewhere in the south, 4 stories high. And then as I meditated the next day, and kind of make it short, the Lord said, I want you to go back and reclaim that courthouse. So in my meditation, as I stepped into the spirit, I went back and it was all broke down, broke in. I mean, it was, just deserted. And so I went back and took my team with me, and then I hired contractors. We redid the whole thing, and when it was done, then I walked up the stairs with my entourage, went up to the second floor, put on my robe, went to the next room, went on the bench, and I heard the voice, quarters and second, Arnold George Watkins, and I sat down at court. The spirit told me that this was a domain, and I felt it was in the south, either Kentucky or Tennessee or both, maybe a regional thing. And so I felt in the spirit that I had gone up my mountain the night before and felt he had put me in a place of authority. So now I'm over a region as a judge to bring justice, and then realize it's right in the middle of the Cane Ridge Revival section down there in that south. So my mission is to open up the old glory holes or those old portals. So I'm kind of on that mission now.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, I think, this is for me what God is doing in establishing his government and beginning to release us into outworking his purposes in those places, unblocking ancient wells, digging new wells, seeing the fire of God come back into those wells. He's looking for people who are available to begin to do that. And so for you, that's great. I mean, it's an awesome thing. And again, it just shows the restoration that God wants to bring us back into and the positions of authority as his children, sons of God, that he releases us into, to have charge of his courts. Zechariah 3, 6, and 7, we begin to bring governance and into the house and rule the house, but then we're going to have charge of his courts. And some of those courts are going to be the places where we adjudicate and release ancient wells and unblock ancient wells and start legislating for those things to be restored and returned. I think we're going to see more and more of these legislative encounters that God opens up for us, and the more we become available to do it, the more those things will take place, and then we will begin to see the cities of refuge begin to form on some of those places, the places that God has, you know, ordained, and he has them prepared to become places of where the kingdom is manifested on earth as it is in heaven. And we will start to see some new ones. You know, it won't just be the old ones. There'll be also new ones that we'll see, you know, new wells dug. You know, there won't be wells of water, there'll be wells of oil. And the fire of God is going to come and create pillars of fire and with walls of fire around those places in preparing and being ready for what's coming, and the fact that, you know, these cities of refuge are, you know, places of God's habitation and glory. And some of them will be, as you've encountered, places that have had revivals and experiences of God in the past, and he's going to restore those because they carry it within the ground, if you like, and they're going to be new places that God also does it. So it's pretty exciting when these stuff starts to get released. And, you know, we just have to be available, and God will begin to train us and tutor us, you know, through dreams, through visions, through encounters, where then we then begin to take that governmental responsibility and administer it, you know, because this is the key. He's calling us to administer it. He's releasing us into these positions of government, of being in charge of his courts, you know. You know, I'm sort of going through a lot of this stuff myself. I mean, I feel this month is a really significant month. I need to get really sharp in engaging with some of the things. You know, I'm sort of fasting this month and already just focused on these sort of governmental issues and the Chancellor's houses, and just I'm conscious that, you know, the whole Galactic Council thing, which is, you know, Council of 70 and these things, it's like, it sounds a bit weird and a bit out there, but they start to sit in the 24th of February, and they sit for 70 days to administer judgment, you know, to make verdicts and decisions based on petitions that are made. They then meet for 70 days to release judgment, justice, and then 70 days, I think, for grace, and then 70 days of mercy, and then they rest for 85 days. Now, it's like, I just know, and I feel, we have to prepare for those type of things. What are the court cases that we should be bringing? What are our things for judgment? You know, those judgments to be made in our favor that will release blessing, that will begin to release the glory of God and to make the decisions which will give us the right access into things, because the judgments have been favored on our behalf. But we have to make the petitions, and we have to have a good case. You know, you can't go to before a level of council of that order and come and think, oh, well, can you just do a bit of this or a bit of that? You have to come with a good case. So what is the prophetic history? What are the prophetic words? What are the mandates for that area or for that region or whatever it might be? And let's see the boundary stones established. You know, and let's start to see justice. What in areas of justice do we want to see come out of heaven? You know, what areas of grace do we want to see come out of heaven? What areas of mercy do we want to see that we then have authority to administer according to the verdicts that are passed on our behalf to release those things into the earth? And, you know, so, you know, when you see, well, God has given you this position as the judge, you know, it makes me smile, because I know these are the things that we're being prepared to begin to administer on behalf of the spheres of government that we've been given. And it's exciting, you know, so much for me is that I am going to, you know, discipline myself to give myself more focus. You know, I want to be clear focused to be able to engage. You know, I've now engaged with 5 of those Chancellor's houses. You know, and the more things I see, you know, the more I get desire of my heart is drawn towards understanding it and being able to administer it in these things. And I think this is really where, you know, God is raising us up. You know, be lifted up, O you heads. You know, be lifted up in the positions of the gates of authority. And God is looking for those who are willing to embrace this and embrace their destiny and embrace their responsibility as his children to administer on his behalf, and to take their position in the courts as chancellors and take their position in the different courts of kings to start legislating, and then getting that legislation, you know, authorized, you know, in the different levels of authority that there are. So it's I'm really pleased to hear those testimonies. You know, and I know God is going to do it. Yeah, and sometimes we do things and we just like, well, what's that done? Has it done anything? You know, it's like saying it pretty weird. I've just done this and it sounds a bit odd, and you know, what has it done any good? Yeah, and the enemy will always try and cast doubt and unbelief into any situation. I mean, as a testimony to that, you know, God, a couple weeks ago, I was on my mountain and God just spoke to me and he said, right, I want you to release a call. So I'm like, okay, well, who am I calling? I want you to release a call that's going to call for the positions of government to be established and to call people to their positions of destiny. And I want you to issue this call as a blue wavelength of light. Now, at this point, I'm now lost, because it's like, how do I, I can issue a call, you know, but how do I issue a call which goes out as a blue wavelength of light? And what on earth does that mean? Now, I know blue is a significant thing. I'm always wearing blue in my uniform, but it's like, I know on Wisdom's Heights, I engage with the pillars there, which are blue. You know, there's a lot of blue, the blue cube, you know, and the sapphire trading floor, and there's a whole lot of things with blue, and it's a significant color, but I didn't know how to do it. So I said, okay, I'll be obedient. I'm on my mountain. So I just let my spirit just release this call. And as I'm doing it, I sense this crown on my head, this blue stone in it, just releases this blue light. And that's it. I did it, not knowing what it did, you know, but I just sent out this call, and I've done it several times since. So then last week, I was talking to a friend of mine who's one of the local leaders here in one of the churches here, and we were coming out of a meeting together, and he said, I'm having this strange thing. It's like, I'm having these dancing blue lights come around me, you know, and I'm like, so I start to smile. He says, well, do you know what it is? So I said, well, I'm not sure, but it may be something to do with this. So I shared with him, and I was meeting with him the next day, and I went, this is what I declared. And he just started resonating in his seat. He said, I'm just resonating with what you're saying. I feel called to it. I'm drawn to it. You know, and he's one that, you know, I'm working with to establish Adventure 3. So, you know, sometimes it's like God gives you those little kisses and just reminders that actually what we do does things, even then we don't understand it. We don't necessarily understand everything about it, but when we are obedient and release it, God's at work. You know, and I've had several people start to contact me wanting to connect because they're drawn. And I think some of that call just draws people, you know, and the whole issues of government and position, people being drawn to take authority and positions of judge in their judges' courts and things, you know, I think is just the season that we're in and what God is wanting to do. He's wanting to draw us into that place where we take responsibility and become sons and outwork it. So thank you for sharing the testimony, and I'm encouraged. So any other questions and things for today?
Hi.
Yep. Hi, Josh.
Well, just on the issue of trading, I've been watching a lot of the videos. When I type in on YouTube, I'll type in trading and then your name, and then I think I watched all but one of them, just to, you know, get more of understanding, and just because the Lord has very clearly led me to, you know, I guess know more about,
yeah,
trading, and the more I read and study, the more I realize how important it is to know, to, you know, to discern, and how it's part of everything that goes on, you know, every day. And so one thing I noticed, it might just be my perception, I guess it's a, you know, two-part question slash comment is, one, it seems that as of, you know, maybe in the last year or so, just going off, you know, of the dates and stuff of the questions and the videos that you posted, that it seems like more and more people are becoming aware, wanting, you know, to know more. Is that true? And then maybe your thoughts on whatever you have to share on trading.
Okay. Yeah. People are definitely connecting with it, or are being drawn to understand it, without a doubt. I think I know Ian Clayton published on his newsletter last month a comment that if you're interested, he said one of the questions that comes up at many of my conferences are about trading. And he basically said, if you're interested, then click here, because he basically said that that I had produced some material on it on our website, on our blog site, which is he finds very helpful. And if you want to get the basic understanding of trading, then go and look at that material. So, I mean, that quadrupled our hits on our blog in one day. It went from, you know, I think in that day, normally we get sort of about 1,000 hits on the blog a day, and it sort of went up to 3,000 or 4,000. Because people actually are interested, and the fact that Ian promoted that, you know, because I must admit, you know, when I listen to the teaching that he's done on it, it's not, I don't find it that easy to follow it. I've had to do it myself. It is. I've done two sessions on it in the Transformation Series, which are specifically on trading. Those are some of the things I've posted. But also, Jeremy, who does our blog, he pulled together some of the positive trading aspects. That, you know, the negative ones are there, but the positive ones, well, what does it actually mean to positively trade into something to engage in it? So there's a you know, on the blog, there's actually a section on trading, which is three different posts. One lady very kindly transcribed the Transformation Series on trading, because when I come to talk about it, I can't remember. I waffle a little bit when I come to talk about personal experience of it, because when I went through it, it was a really difficult thing. I went through it in a week or so. You know, I think it was 2 weeks, because God told me I needed to teach it, and I hadn't done it. I'd been putting it off because I didn't really like the idea, to be honest, so of looking that deeply at the time. So, but in the end, he said, right, in 3 weeks, I think you're going to have to teach this. So actually, I've been calling you to do this for the last 12 months, so now you're going to have to do it. So I'm like, oh, okay. So for 3 weeks, it was just like every motive of my heart. I went through all the different trading floors, looked at the whole Dragon's Well thing, Tobias, you know, and the thing in you know, the temple where they had the one of the enemy sort of camped in the temple in the area where the sort of blessing should have been in Nehemiah, just the whole story. And I'm like, oh, it was hard, you know. But I went through it. I produced the teaching on it in terms of writing down my experiences, and then God just wiped them out. So I have no memory of any of those negative things anymore. So some lady, I can't remember who it was, basically transcribed it. So now I actually have the transcript of each of the different trading floors, and actually what I did in my own life and what they meant, and some of the descriptions. So, you know, it was a reminder of what God had done in me. But I think the key is to be open and see it as part of a process of going deeper. You know, Hebrews 4:12, you know, the dividing of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. What are my motives? Why do I do certain things? Why do I do certain things to meet certain needs in me? And why do I exchange those things with the enemy rather than with God. You know, God has got all my needs. He can meet all my needs. But why do we fall for the enemies? Well, because that's what he offered Adam and Eve. He offered them another pathway of doing things without God. And that's what trading is. It's basically following the pathway of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So it's doing those things from our own perspectives, and out of what the enemy offers to us in exchange for our life, effectively. And sometimes we take the shortcut of the offer of a quick fix. And that's often what the enemy offers, a quick fix, whereas God offers a process of transformation. And so when it comes to trading, we have to have a willingness for God to search our hearts. And in searching our hearts, we have to have that willingness for him. For him to reveal those things. And I didn't find it very pleasant. You know, you have to own and agree, yeah, that was my motive. What a terrible thing. Now, fortunately, because, you know, I know I'm loved by God and I'm loved unconditionally and accepted by him, you know, I know there's no punishment in it. I know there's no guilt, shame, or condemnation. There's just the transformation that comes when we're free from those motives. You know, so I went through it, and it wasn't very easy, but I did it, and God really responded. And now it's something that I'm aware of and I'm guard for, because I don't want the motives of my heart to be wrong. You know, I want to be motivated on what brings glory to him. Therefore, then I can, you know, I can give all that stuff back to him. You know, he meets my needs. You know, he's my provider, he's my source. You know, I'm not going to follow the source that comes from another path anymore. You know, so, you know, there are the seven trading flaws, you know, which are there. And then the positive side of it, it's like, you know, one of the things I do is, like, I take the things that people give me in terms of, you know, praise or thanks or whatever, and I just go and trade them. I'm just like, because I don't want them for myself, because I want them to bring glory to God. So I go and trade them for greater revelation. It's like, you know, because it's all about him anyway. You know, and years ago, I struggled to receive affirmation and encouragement from people. I just felt awkward when people used to say it, because I had a need. You know, it was I struggle with sort of like feeling good enough, you know, for people to say nice things. You know, but as I become more and more intimate with God, and I know how he feels about me and what he says about me and how much he loves me, then now if someone says something great, I think, oh, thanks very much. Receive that, but then I just go and trade it. In other words, I just give it to God, like casting my crowns before him, because it's all about him, you know, and acknowledging, you know, him and wanting more of him, you know. And now, you know, you can trade various things. You can trade into the truth. You can trade on the cross, use the cross to exchange old for new, you know. And I covenant exchange everything every day. You know, I embrace the cross and I exchange old for new. I exchange health for sickness. I exchange, you know, sin for righteousness. You know, I exchange, you know, guilt for forgiveness. You know, it's just generally, it's just something that I'm now so aware of, that that's what the cross is, a place where I exchange all the old stuff and I receive all the new stuff, and I can embrace that and then live from the new, because I'm dead to the old and alive to the new. You know, and, you know, some people would trade everything. You know, they'll go to Melchizedek and they'll trade everything. I only do what I feel my spirit leading me to do. I don't just do it as a matter of course or everything. I know what I need to do, and I'm aware that I'm living that way without consciously doing a lot of things. But my whole attitude and my whole approach to it is one where I'm exchanging all the time, you know. And I, you know, sometimes, you know, when you go to Ian Clayton conferences, you know, people come and they give a token of financial exchange, and they're looking to trade into the revelation. So, yeah, that's something I really want, so I'm willing to give something for it, you know. And I, you know, for me, it's like, again, it's not something that I particularly feel led to do, although I have done it on one or two occasions. But if people feel that that's something that they have revelation to do, great, no problem. You know, in some of the conferences I've done, people have done that to me, and I'm like, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, you're not listening to what I'm saying now because you're focusing on, you know, putting some money in the bucket or something. I'd rather you sat there and did it at the end if you wanted to do it, but actually focus, you know. And I think sometimes it can be a bit of a distraction because people are wandering up and, you know, and then they're putting things in, and, you know, I've seen it in some of the, you know, the people did it here when we did conferences with Ian here. You know, he doesn't have a problem with it, and I don't have a problem, but I just think sometimes it can be distracting for the people because they're not listening to what is subsequently being said, so they're missing potentially future revelation. So, you know, I think it's a big subject, you know, and the key is to make sure we're not negatively trading and then be led by our spirit to engage that in the trading floors of heaven. You know, the first sort of negative trade was really Satan when he was on the Firestones. And, you know, he traded the revelation that he received to cause rebellion in heaven. You know, so he used that information and offered it to a third of the angels, and they accepted it. You know, and that information was about stopping us, mankind, coming into their positions of government so he could be worshipped and he could have government. So, you know, there's a lot around it. But it's definitely something I know that people are very interested in because I think it's a season where we need to deal with the motives of our heart and also know how to exchange covenantly. You know, everything about covenant was exchange. You know, the whole symbol of covenant is a figure of eight or an infinity symbol. And where you stand in the middle, if you like, you stand where the sacrifice was made, where the blood was shed, and you exchange things. You know, you exchange a coat, or sometimes you exchange blood as a blood covenant. And literally what you were saying is, what's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine. And now I can call on you to defend me, and you can call on me to defend you. When I'm in need, I can call on you, and when you're in need, you can call on me. Now we're in the new covenant, where Jesus has actually the sacrifice that we now can stand on. And literally, if you think about this whole thing of the Hebrew understanding of, you know, the beginning and the end, and Ian talks about it a lot, the Hebrew mentality is not linear but circular. I see it as double circular, because when you stand in the middle of the covenant, you can look back into what was, bring it into continually into what is, to then bring that and change what will be. And it's a continual cycle. You know, and I've been drawing that symbol in worship with my hands, and I'm not a particularly demonstrative person. You know, I'm not given to waving my hands around. You know, I stick my hands up and worship, and I'm a extravagant worshiper, but, you know, my dancing is renowned for its out of timeness, but I do it anyway. But I found myself just drawing this in worship. My hand was just drawn into this symbol that went with the sound that was coming out of heaven. And now I'm sort of getting an understanding of what it was about in terms of being able to stand in the middle, engage what was, bring it into what is, and then have this continual what will be as being in that place of covenant exchange. And, you know, I know we're going to learn more about how to stand in that place, you know, and to engage. It's when we step into him, we can engage that place. If we're in Christ, we can engage that place of exchange. And literally, we can look back into eternity, see what God's purpose and intention was, and bring that into today to make our decisions based on what was rather than what we might like it to be, you know.
Wow.
You know, so, yeah, whole area there. I did a little bit of teaching that on Sunday. I'm sure I'm going to do some more in the future because I sort of, you know, I feel people sort of struggle to understand this sort of circle. Well, how can I stand at the beginning and see the end? How can I stand at the end and see the beginning? And actually, it makes much more sense when you understand it from a perspective of covenant and these two circles coming together on that place of exchange in what the cross is. You know, literally, we're standing in the place of the cross to exchange the old for the new, but also then we can bring that into our past to transform it. So because we can be connected to the image that God has for us, bring that into where I am now, and then apply it to what was in my life to transform and change what has happened in my life to restore and undo and bring transformation into it. You know, and then we can begin to apply that into what will be. You know, so I'm going to make those decisions not based on my good ideas or the wrong path, but I'm going to base it on God's purpose and intention that he will reveal when I'm standing in him, and then I can engage it and see it from his perspective, which is, you know, eternal, effectively. So, yeah.
Amen. Great. Thank you.
Okay. You know, but there is plenty of material, you know, on our blog site, you know, which has got this material of all the trading floors and all the descriptions of, you know, Tyre and Athaliah and Jezebel and the rest of them, you know, Cain, Delilah, Leviathan, and Napoleon, you know, and there was, you know, a whole lot of description there about some of the things that they relate to. So
I've got them. I'm actually probably gone through everything that's there, and you know, and the Lord's given me some snippets here and there, and I've started to walk through that process and found it, just as you described, to be challenging, to say the least.
Yeah, absolutely. But the great thing is, you know, he loves us.
Yeah.
And it's all for our good, to bring us into wholeness and to make the thoughts and intentions, because the pure in heart will see God. So the more pure in heart we are, the easier it is to see him and to engage with him. You know, because we know we can come from that place of righteousness. You know, so yeah, it's good stuff.
Mike?
Yeah.
Could you give me the address of your blog, or is it on your web?
Yeah, it's basically, there's a link directly on the front page of the website. I think it's Freedom Arc. Actually, I've got it up. freedomarc.wordpress.com. That's the blog. It's called Sons of Issachar, and there's an area there that says teaching series, and then under teaching series there's a thing that says trading, and you know, there's a whole load of other, all our teaching series for the last 2 or 3 years are being transcribed in blog form there. So it's a good resource. So
thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
There's a whole lot.
Yeah, there is. Fortunately, I didn't do it. If I did it, it would be pretty unreadable. It's like my grammar and punctuation are renowned to be not brilliant. But Jeremy is who does it for me. He really is, you know, a good friend, and he carries my heart in it, and he does a really good job. I mean, the older ones are very thorough. In that, you know, he would blog each section of the stuff that I did, and he would get sometimes eight blog posts out of one message, because he basically said that, you know, I speak at like 10,000 words a minute or something, you know, and probably have like 5 or 6 sermons in one message, which is probably true, but now he's sort of taking one whole post and then just sort of distilling it down into one thing, because he was getting so far behind. You know, the ones he's doing now are 2012, so he's still 3 years behind, but he's catching up a little bit faster because he's distilling it down. But they are a good resource, because some people like reading. You know, some people like reading, some people like listening, some people like watching. You know, so we try and sort of put the, you know, different resources out there for that purpose, so that people can engage them. Which is why, you know, I put the sort of PDF notes up, just so that people have got some sort of reference that they can look at, if you know, as they're going through things.
I love it. Very, very, very helpful. Very appreciative of everything that you put up there and he puts up there. It's awesome. It's great. So.
Oh, great. Thank you. I mean, you know, for us, this is part of our mandate. You know, God has given us a mandate to release and equip and help people, you know, and to release that media. You know, we have, one of our mountains is a media mountain, in which we're looking to continually release media to help people to engage, you know, and it's great, you know. You know, and I try and do it on every sort of platform that I can do, you know. So we publish stuff on the Facebook page and on Google Plus and, you know, on the website, and just because we just want to bless people and help people to hear the call. You know, it's hear the sound that's coming out of heaven and respond to it and be drawn to engage, you know, in people's, in their destinies. It's good. Okay. So have you got anything, Kristen? You're quiet again today.
You always do that.
Well, I like to hear you.
Oh, I'm always kind of amazed at how when I sit back and listen, it's kind of like, oh, okay, I'll take that. And so, George, I really appreciate your testimonies today. I got some lovely aha moments.
Good.
Aha moments. And it's just fascinating to listen because you go, oh, is that what that was? Da, 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 and I'm sitting here writing and I go, thank you, Jesus, I'll take that one. And so I do have a question, just a quick one to put out on there. When all those little aha moments were coming together, because partly with George's testimony regarding going in and to the wells and the city of refuge going forward. So there's an interesting thing that God has me do, and I'm just going to throw it on the table. Mm. But I've been going to this place in my particular area that had revival there. And so I have a lot of history of God speaking to us there. But now I go there and I eat jewels that are present there. And so it's really an interesting, I'm not quite sure, you know, why God is having me do that, but he takes me there all the time to encourage me. Yeah. And so, but I see the platform of what he's going to do, and it's just covered with jewels. So I just constantly just like, okay, put it in my spirit and keep on going.
Yeah. I think the whole jewel thing, I mean, some of it's just like jewels appearing and those things, but in a sense, the whole stones and gemstones is a very, you know, it's been there from the beginning. Obviously, the fire stones, the 12 stones on the breastplate of the high priest, you know, the 12 foundational stones of New Jerusalem. You know, there's a lot of things which is reference to jewels and gemstones and what they mean, and I think, you know, they contain revelation. I mean, I think that's the key. I mean, I have 12 stones in the crown that I have when I sit on my throne on my mountain, you know, and they're each of them is a different color, and I've seen things radiating out from those colors, and I've seen rivers flowing out of those stones. You know, God gave me, you know, when I first encountered sort of, you know, really in heaven, you know, on my fast, he gave me a stone, a big blue stone, and he said, that's a stone of destiny. Now I'm like clueless what that meant at the time, but he said, look into it. So I kept looking into it, and as I looked into it, I would just disappear into it. I would just in, and there was all sorts of the revelations I've received came from engaging that stone. You know, first time I ever saw mountains was by going into that stone, and it's like, wow, what am I seeing? What am I doing? You know, so I think, you know, they're very significant things of the revelation of sonship, of who we are, and, you know, the fact that there's lots of them there is just an indication of, you know, the depth of revelation that your heart desires. Because sometimes God reveals those things because they're the desire of our heart. And the desire for more and deeper revelation and more intimacy, which I know is the desire of your heart, he gives us the desires of our heart. And the fact that he's showing you those things, it is an encouragement, but it's actually saying, no, he knows your heart, and he's willing to meet the desires of your heart and to release the revelation that you desire and you seek, you know, and you take it into your spirit, and it's like, well, what have I done? Did I do it? What happened? Did anything happen? Was it just, but actually it's there, and it will come out and does come out, you know, and you'll find that what you have received in your spirit may not be totally cognitive at this point, but will become so as you release it, and your spirit will lead you. It will release things. It will release truth. It will release revelation. It will release encounters for other people because, you know, you have it resonating in your spirit. There's light. There's frequency there. And this whole thing with I was sharing earlier about the blue light frequency, you know, it's like that's in my spirit. You know, I've been in the blue cube. I mean, it's like and I know it's in there, you know, but I know that it can therefore be released as a frequency. And then other people can engage that frequency, and then they can their spirit can resonate with it, and it can open something in someone else's spirit because it's something that gets released, you know. And so I keep eating them, keep going for it, because whatever you take in flows from your innermost being out as a river, and that revelation and that truth. And the experience that you have will flow out like a river from the inside out, you know, and that will create an atmosphere of glory around your life that when people step into it, they will begin to resonate, and that light will begin to shine on them and connect them and draw them and open up their hearts and spirits to it, you know. So
we had a really endearing testimony on Sunday. So one of my key people is who just very much of a personality like your very detailed and he was seeking the Lord prior in like pre-service, and he was going through the gateways, and corporately he asked that for God, you know, that we would hear the sound of heaven. Well, I'm downstairs queuing up worship and all that kind of stuff, and all of a sudden just I get this brand new song. Just, I mean, it was as easy. And he comes downstairs and I said, he goes, what time were you doing that? And it was the same time, and it was so encouraging. Yep. And it was so encouraging because corporately, you know, I encourage him, I go, wow, you just opened a really cool corporate door on behalf of us. Yep. And we received it, and here's the testimony and the manifestation, and we were all just undone. It was just really cool.
Excellent. Yeah, and it is good, isn't it? It's good to have testimonies. It's good to be encouraged and to encourage each other and to share. You know, and a lot of people don't necessarily share a lot of the things, but when they do, I think, you know, I really appreciate it. I really feel, you know, it's an encouragement. It's something that, yeah, it just... you receive that, and actually when you give a testimony, the whole thing is you release it for other people to experience because they start to resonate with it. The desires of their heart get set on it, and it's like, wow, I would like to do that. God, I would really like to do that. And that sets them on a pathway to experience it themselves, you know, which is the key power of testimony. You know, that's what it enables, the repeat performance. But in other people, as we give the testimony away, they receive it, and the... it's, you know, that thing with like receiving the prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive the prophet's reward. And it's like when we testify in that way and people receive it, then they're receiving the reward from it that comes out of the experience that they will get for it as well. And so, you know, we have testimonies every meeting, because it's so important to A, to praise God and give thanks to him for all that he's done. But B, just to see those things released in other people as they take hold of them and then begin to get them in their own life. So, yeah, awesome. Very good. Excellent. Okay, all right. Okay, well,